There, is that better? Anyway, it is. It's good to be saved, and we're going to get down to some serious sharing now. We're just going to hug and bond. It's going to get so warm and fuzzy, I can't stand it. Open your Bible. Let me. Can I say something? Somebody asked me a question. It wasn't a Bible question. Somebody asked me a question the other evening. You folks sang "Oh Canada." And where's the young lady? There you're back right there. And she asked me, what do I think when I hear you guys sing "Oh Canada"? I love it. I think you got one of the most beautiful national anthems I've ever heard. It is just wonderful. And let me explain about your country, something you may not have realized. I'll tell you something about mine. You've seen the bumper stickers that some mindless, brainless person has put on the back of the car that says, "The earth is your mother." You know, right? You've seen that? Well, wait a minute. The earth is not your mother. Now, we know God's our father if we're saved, correct? You know who my mother is? United States of America. The United States is my mother. And for you, Canada is your mother. And in your anthem, you know what you say? You will protect your mother. You'll protect Canada. I like that. We are watching some things take place in our country. And the reason it grieves me so is because I told somebody, they said, "Well, why do you feel like you?" I said, "Because I feel like I'm watching my mother die. And I can't do a thing about it." And if that does happen, I know there's always been just a little tit-for-tat kind of stuff that all between countries, but just remember, we're going to lose our mother. That's how I look at it. And I don't want that to happen. And I don't want you to lose yours. And you've got a good one. And I'll tell you what, I'm happy for Canada to have you. I really am. I can still remember, I think it was 2001, that your pastor called. And we talked about this meeting. I'd never met him. And he had never met me, had me up here. And then he realized how good all those years were that he had never met me. But I'll tell you what I've enjoyed. I just enjoy meeting you folks. I enjoy coming up here and being with you. It just blesses my heart. It really does. It is just something to look forward to. So that's not the message. That was just... And the folks that have been cooking the meals, I'll take time to say thank you for what you've done. It's all been good. Most of it all had meat in it. So I know something died. That made me, you know, feel a little better. All right. Let's go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Now, we're going to go to John chapter 2 and stay there. But actually, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do two things. We're going to go many places in the Bible. We're not going to turn there. You're just going to have to turn there on your own sometime. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to leave here tonight. We're going to be transported. And I'll tell you, we are going to go back in time and forward in time. Okay? Now, you say, "I don't think I can do that." Anybody can watch TV has done it. Some of you have done it during the messages. I mean, you know, some of you have already been to Jupiter tonight or Venus or you killed Godzilla or who knows what all you did. What I'm saying is that that you have to use your imagination for what we're going to look at tonight. Look at John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Well, he thinks something of a wedding, doesn't he? I think something of them. "And when they wanted wine, his mother, the mother of Jesus, saith unto him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus saith unto her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.'" Let's bow our heads and let us talk to the Lord. Father, it is good to be saved. It really is. Always good to be saved. God, I hope you are blessed by looking at this congregation here tonight. I really do. God, you know the history of every individual here. You know, listen, God, you look at this crowd and you know every single Saturday night that has ever been lived by all of us. And you look down here into a church and see us here tonight. And I hope it warms your heart, God. I really do. I know, Father, that we are just walking, talking pieces of dirt, and we fail you frequently. But I hope tonight, just these people singing about you, both the groups, the families, and the congregation. I hope, Lord, you are blessed. You are blessed by your people. Now, God, there's a message to be delivered, and I'm the one supposed to do it. Now I'm asking you, Father, please help me. I pray, God, that you'll get me out of your way and out of the way of these people. And God, there's plenty of reasons why you should leave here now. But we're asking you, Father, that you don't. Because if you aren't in this service, if you aren't here, then all we're going to do is be religious. And we've all been religious. And we don't want religion, we want you. So God, I pray, I'm asking you, please, please, please speak where I can't. And please touch the hearts as you want them touched. And deliver the message to each person as it needs to be delivered. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Jesus Christ says here, he says, mine hour is not come. It's an hour, guys. 60 seconds makes a minute. 60 minutes makes an hour. And three of those make one of my messages. There are, with talk about hours, there are 168 hours in a week. That's 253 metric. There are 8,700, in a month. In a month, there are 720 hours. In a year, there are 8,760 hours. And we are allotted 70 years according to Scripture, which means if you live to be 70, you will have lived 613,200 hours, give or take a few minutes. Have you ever heard this term? It was a life-changing hour. Can you imagine what it must be like to have 600, just forget the 200, 613,000 hours in your life and have one be special? Does that not make, I mean, is that not something? You know what the Lord said? He said, this is my hour. He's talking about his hour. He said, my hour is not yet come. He's talking about an hour in his life. And here's what we're going to do. And I hope you can do it. I hope I can convey it properly. But we are going to go back. And we're, you know, sometimes we go back to a momentous time in history. You know, you go, let's go back to when the pilgrims landed. Let's go back to, I'm sorry. I don't know great days in Canada, except the one when Gip gets on a plane and gets out of the country. But you know, you say, well, let's go back to this great time in history when, and in this one hour when something took place, the hour when the nuclear bomb went off over Hiroshima or Nagasaki, the hour when D-Day happened. You understand? We're not going to do that. We are not going to go back to a great time in anyone's life. We're going to go back to one hour after. We're going to go back to one hour. In other words, the momentous occasion took place 60 minutes ago. So we're going to visit several people within the Bible, and we're going to visit them 60 minutes after something changed just like that. And that's all I want you to do, if you can imagine with me. The first one, let's just go back to one hour in the life of Adam. Now, Adam, I had it written down here. Adam lived, check this out, he lived to be 960 years old. He lived 8,146,800 hours. Can you imagine living 8 million hours and have one be special? We're going back to one hour, or one hour in his life, but it's an hour after a momentous occasion took place. You say, what happened? He just ate the fruit an hour ago. He didn't just eat the fruit. He ate the fruit in the last 60 minutes. Now, can you imagine the radical change that has taken place in this guy's life? You know, guys, sometimes it isn't wrong to read that which is not there, as long as you don't sanctify it. I'll give you an example, and I'm not going to be graphic about this. But you parents, have your children ever said, where'd I come from? Right? Kids say, where'd I come from? Well, let me ask you something. I mean, we don't know how long Adam was here exactly before he fell. You think at some point, now, you know, he was the son. The Bible said he was the son of God, according to Luke chapter 3. You think he ever looked over at his father and said, now they had fellowship, man. They were having fellowship in the garden. You imagine how wonderful that was? You think he never said, Father, where did I come from? And God reached down, grabbed a handful of dirt, said, Adam, sifted it through his fingers, let it fall to the earth, said, you see that? Yeah. That was you. Oh, come on. Yeah, Adam, you're just dust. You're just something I kind of put together. Threw together on the spur of the moment. I'd fired an employee and I needed a replacement, but you guys will get that. But he said, yeah, Adam, I'll tell you what I did. He said, I took the dust and I breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Do you remember when you opened your eyes and I was standing in front of you? Well, you know, Dad, that's the first thing I remember. That's because that was the first thing that ever happened in your life. You mean there was no me? There's nothing. You were a pile of dust. I put you together. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. And then I gave you this whole world. And I put you in this beautiful garden with all of this around you just because I love you. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Can you imagine what it must have been like when he would hear the voice of his father come in the garden and he would say, Adam, I'm here, Father! And they would just go talk about another thing. It must have been fun. Somebody's done, I'm sure many people have done it, going through the rehearsal of Adam naming the animals. Man, he either named those animals some really weird stuff. I've often thought what he really did is just dropped a Scrabble board. You know, well, that's a rhinoceros. You heard it, you know, why? Because it looks more like rhinoceros than anything else. I don't know where he came up with those names. Now, can you imagine all of the fellowship that we have? But wait a second. That was true up to 60 minutes ago. 60 minutes ago, you know the story, Genesis chapter 3, he took of the fruit willfully, knowing exactly what he was doing. And isn't it like it, man, just about the time you do something wrong, the light goes on, just when, I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to tell you how to hurry people up. If you are waiting somewhere, this is why you should always carry a Bible with you. When you have to wait for people, you wait and wait and wait. If you will pull out your Bible and start reading, they show up. I'm telling you, they do. You can wait 40 minutes and not do a thing. And you pull out that Bible and they'll be there within 30 seconds. And you go, man, I could have got 40 minutes of Bible reading in. It's like as soon as I do it. Remember when Samuel made that offering in 1 Samuel chapter 13? I'm sorry, not Samuel. But Saul made that offering in 1 Samuel chapter 13. And he's waiting for Samuel. Wait for Samuel. Wait. Oh, he's never going to get here. Makes the offering. Who shows up? Samuel. And so here's Adam. He's just 1 hour ago eating that fruit. And for the first time, he hears his voice. And it doesn't. God, it wasn't anything in the inflection of God when he said it. He said it like he always said, Adam! But this time there was no joy. This time there was stark terror. He went and hid behind a tree from God. There's a lot of people in our country hide behind trees. You hug them all you want, honey. You can't hide from the Creator. Can you imagine what's just taken place? What's just taken place is his father has just had a discussion with him and he said, son, you see all this? You have to leave. You have to go. I made this for my son. He was going to rule the entire universe. For Adam, I did you no wrong. Now you have to go. Now I want you to think about this, guys. Listen, Adam had asked, where have I come from? You came from dust. Well, what's going to happen to me? You are going to live forever and rule the universe from a throne right here. That's what would have happened had he not fallen. Guys, time is not a line. It's a circle. You know where this thing starts? It starts with the Son of God ruling on a perfect earth, ruling the universe. And then you go through 7,000 years. You know where you end up? You end up after the millennium, the Son of God sitting on a throne ruling the universe. Time is a circle. And so here's this dust. And he was destined to rule the entire universe and have fellowship with God. And now as he's walking out of the garden, he looks back at his father and says, is this the way it's got to be? I got to live forever outside the garden? God says, well, no, Adam, you're not going to live forever. I'm sorry, son. You have to go back to being dust. Can you imagine the emotion? That'd be like getting hit by a train. He came from dust. He was given life. He had a body. And God just said, dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. Can you imagine what it must have felt like to look at your hands and realize that you look at the dust of the ground and go, I've got to go back to that? Yep. He's got to go back to it. We all got to go back to it. But guys, 1 hour. 1 hour. Well, how many times do you ever do anything? How many times do you ever say, oh, if I could just go back 1 hour of my life? Well, I'll bet you if Adam could go back 1 hour in his life, I know which hour it would be. And it would have been that one. Let's go back to 1 hour after momentous occasion has taken place. We're going to go into a man's life, and we're going to go 35,040 hours into his life. Let's go 35,041 hours into his life. You say, what's 35,040? That's 40 years. And a guy's name is Moses. And you know what he's doing right now? He is running for his life. He is headed for the desert. He is scared to death of what's going to coming over the next hill. You know why? Because just 1 hour ago, they found out that he murdered a man. Do you know what he was 1 hour earlier? He was the successor to the throne of Pharaoh. He was Pharaoh's adopted grandson. This guy, not born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but they sure put one in right after they got the ark out of the river. And this guy, you imagine what the 40 years of his life has been? It's been what many of you wish yours was, and I'm glad it wasn't. It was a life of wealth. It was a life of plenty. It was a life of power. It was a life of, I mean, come on, man. This guy didn't know what it was. He had servants. Clap your hands. Somebody come and take care of this. Somebody come and take care of that. Do you know what it must have felt like to be that kind of pampered, and all of a sudden, this guy is absolutely all alone in the desert of Egypt? He's not all alone in a mall. He's not all alone with a credit card in a town where he can walk down the street corner and get a burger. This guy is all alone. And you know where he ends up? Look, he has been for 1 hour, he has been a fugitive and does not know that that has radically changed his life. You know what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened to Moses. He lost his temper and lost his life. That is exactly what happened to Moses. You have any idea how many people there are in prisons in your country and mine who are not career criminals, who are not diabolical child molesters, who are not dope dealers and evil people? You know what they are? They're husbands and fathers and normal people who just snapped one time. One time somebody made them angry and they took a life or they did some kind of damage, and it has absolutely altered their life for the rest of their life. Here he is. You know where he's headed? He is headed for the backside of the desert. I told you. I told you, I love the way my God writes. Is that not graphic? The backside of the desert. Don't you think the desert is bad? You ever been to the desert? You guys got a desert? Because we could get you one. I'm sure we can send some dirt up here, man. We've got lots of desert. And everything in the desert will hurt you. Everything will hurt you. There's cactus. We were out in the desert one time with my family, and we were walking around there looking at things. Now I got enough sense not to touch a cactus. You know, they got needles going, touch me, touch me. I'm not touching it. But there was this one plant, and this plant had long, slender leaves. Point came to a point. Obviously not a cactus. Why is it that if it says wet paint, you go like this? And why is it if something comes to a point, you got to go, aah! I mean, it was like it shot through the end of my finger. Then there was this other thing. It wasn't a cactus. It had these little furry flowers. That isn't fur. Those are needles. And they're there for days, reminding you, I got you. That's the desert, guys. But he wasn't in the desert. He was in the backside of the desert. That's like the dark side of the moon. You know, what could be worse than being a lifeless sphere out in space? How about where there's no light, too? That's the backside of the desert. Now, you guys, let me tell you what's nice about Canada. I'm going to tell you what's wonderful about Canada. You don't have Kentucky. I was in New Zealand. First time I went to New Zealand. And this Kiwi was talking to me, and he was very proud. They go to Australia a lot, and he was very proud of his country and some things that they had and things that Australia had. And he said, do you have Kmart in America? I said, yeah, man, it's an American company. He said, no, that's Australian. I said, no, that's American. He said, well, we see it in Australia. I said, yeah, but it went to Australia from America. And I kind of went, But he got me next time. He said, well, do you have McDonald's in America? I said, yeah, that's America. That's Australian. I said, no, man, that's American. That's Australian. We see it in America. I said, well, it went to Australia, but it went there, you know, after it went there from America. So he's really kind of tight-jawed. Then he finally got me. And you can see it come across his face. He says, "What, do you have Kentucky Fried Chicken in America?" And I said, "Kentucky Fried Chicken." I said, "Forget the chicken, pal. We got Kentucky." I don't think he'd ever thought about where Kentucky Fried Chicken ever came from till that moment. I said, "Kentucky ain't the Outback." So you have Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is a strange state. In fact, now there's two parts of it, flatlanders and hill folk. My surgery was done in Kentucky, but it was done on the flatland. Boy, you get up in those hills, there's some strange people. There are some strange people up in the hills. You can tell they step too much time in the hills. They have like long arms and eyes here. It's real weird kind of people. And I'll tell you how they count wealth in Kentucky. It's how many cars you have up on concrete blocks. Anybody can have one. But if you got five, you are a rich Kentuckian. Now, I want you to imagine, you know, you pick up this guy. He's hitchhiking and it's in Kentucky. And he says, "Will you take me home?" "Sure, I'll take you home." So you're driving down the interstate, says, "Take this exit." You get off the exit, off the interstate, onto the highway, kind of highway like what you have right out here. And sure enough, man, you come off the highway. He says, "Turn on this dirt road." So you turn on dirt road. You go to dirt road. He says, now turn off here, and you get to one of those real narrow one-lane dirt roads. And you kind of go, "Is he going to mug me?" And then he says, "Now turn off here," and it's just two ruts with grass growing up in it. And and finally you come up. Here's the grass. The grass is this high. It's some house that hasn't been painted in 50 years. One side of the porch has already let go. The screen door is hanging by one hinge. Plastic over the windows that has turned yellow and broken in the wind. And I mean, it's just decrepit looking place. And he goes, as you pull up to it, he goes, "Okay, you can stop here." "You live in that?" And he says, "Well, no, I live in the shed out and back." That is the backside of the wilderness. You know who is headed for the backside of the wilderness? Pharaoh's grandson. 1 hour ago. 1 hour ago when he walked in a room, I wouldn't doubt this kid had never, 40 years old, he'd never opened a door. When he walked up to a door, some servant stepped up and opened it for him. He sat down and somebody brought him food. He clapped his hands. Somebody brought him the change of clothes. If he didn't want that clothes, they took those away and brought him something else. I mean, this guy had never done anything all by himself. And now he is winded, man. He is running as fast as he can. It's all happened. A life-changing hour. That was 35,040 hours into his life. Let's go 35,040 more hours. 40 more years. You know what he's doing? He is high-stepping now, man. He is heading back for Egypt. You know who he is? He is a prophet. He has newly anointed prophet, 80 years old. Talk about a second career. 80 years old, and he has gone back to Egypt. But you know what he was an hour ago? A shepherd. He was a shepherd on the backside of the desert. Isn't that true? Trust me, guys. Listen, if you spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, you would be talking to bushes too. That day alone, he had probably talked to a couple of tumbleweeds, an iguana, you know, and he just looked over, there's a burning bush, try that, may as well, anything. He hasn't heard from God in 40 years. He hadn't heard from God in 40 years. You ever go a period of time in your life you just didn't hear from God? There are times, guys, when I feel like my prayers are written on a super ball, And God has put me in a concrete room. And all I do when I pray is just take that ball and go, boom, and I just watch it go, ping, boom, 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 but it never goes anywhere. Have you ever, and now look, if you ever know what it is to be in the desert, sometimes it's really not necessarily some evil, wicked sin in your life. Man, when I spent my time in the desert, I confessed, I even confessing. Look, you know how you know you're desperate? You'll confess sins you didn't even do. I am pretty sure I have got some sin on credit. I said, "Can I do this?" I confessed it. "Well, yeah, you never did that." But one hour ago, you know what his morning light was like that morning? It was like 40 years of other mornings. He went out to take care of the sheep. Oh, that one. I broke his leg once, and he still gets away from the flock. That's what they do. When they get a wandering sheep, they'd break its leg so it couldn't walk, so they didn't have to go chase it everywhere. And you know, they were having some problems, and one of them got stuck in the quicksand yesterday. Do you think he had any idea that he was going to wake up a shepherd and never pillow his head a shepherd again. Man, you know what he is? He is a man of God, and he's loaded. He's got the rod. Has he not? I mean, look, Rambo was never so well equipped. I mean, everybody runs out of ammunition. You don't run out of ammunition. We got this. Just throw it down. There's a snake. Just put your hand in here. It becomes leprous. I mean, just wave this thing, and here come lice. Here come flies. The water turns to blood. I mean, I've often imagined, you know, after about five of the plagues of Egypt had taken place. After about five of them, you know, every time this guy he'd wave that rod, and bam, something bad had happened to Egypt. And I just imagine. I know it didn't happen, but like I said, let me alone. I really enjoy this. I can see Moses just walking down a street in Egypt, and some stranger in town going, "Hey, can you tell me where there's a restaurant?" And him taking that rod going, "Yeah, just go down here about two blocks." And when he raised that rod, about 200 Egyptians went, "Doc! He's at it again! Turn us into a pizza." Boy, but you know what he's doing? He has heard from God for the first time in 40 years. It has been 35,040 hours. He hadn't heard from God. I really don't know, guys. I'm sure you know he had a great future ahead of him. Wrote the first five books of the Bible. Wrote many of the Psalms. And famous in the history of Israel. Famous in the history of the world. They made movies about him. Gave Charlton Heston a job. But you know what I think he was really? He was going to be a prophet. But you know what he was doing? He'd finally heard from God again. Man, after you've had that dearth, you remember how good it felt to hear from God? Boy, a bunch of you who said, "I'll never do that," after 40 years in the desert, you'll do it with bells on. You'll do anything he wants you to do. And you know what he's doing? He is heading back for Egypt, and he's saying, "I'm going back to Egypt. And this time when I leave, I'm taking my people. I'm going back to Egypt, but I'm not going to stay. I'm going back there, and when I leave, I'm taking every Jew in the country out with me." 1 hour ago, he was a shepherd. Let's go to 1 hour after momentous occasion in a young boy's life. He is a hero. People are holding him up on their shoulders. They are cheering him. They are talking about his bravery. And just beyond him, down in a valley, you can see the Philistines carrying off most of their hero, the lifeless, headless body of Goliath. The kid we're talking about is a kid by the name of David. Now, is this not what happened after he killed Goliath? I mean, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. Was he not a hero? Did his name not become known all through Israel? Do you know what he was 1 hour before this? He was the grocery delivery boy. Isn't that true? He's bringing cheeses and food. He's not even qualified to be in the army. He's the kid with his baseball hat on sideways and his baggy britches and, you know, delivering his stuff to the door. "Food's here." And when he started talking about combat, I mean, everybody got a little upset, didn't they? Now, come on, guys. Come on. Could you imagine, you know, a bunch of you talking about the problems of Canada? And the doofus grocery boy comes up. You know, he's got his iPod blowing his eardrums out. And he goes, "Well, I'll tell you what I think we ought to do." "Oh, yeah, that's what we need, hero. Yeah, we need you. Why don't you just go? Look, this guy's going to kill us." "Oh, I'll go fight him." "Oh, yeah, that's right. How about, tell you what, I'll just take you by the ankles and I'll go down and beat him to death with you." Even the Jews were mocking this kid 1 hour ago. Boy, didn't 1 hour change his life? He went from grocery delivery boy to hero of Israel. 1 hour's time, 60 minutes. David was the guy. He had 613,200 hours in his life. He lived to be 70 years old, and in one of those hours, he went from flunky to hero. Let's go back. We go back. We're actually coming a little farther this way, back forward, but you know what he is now? Well, we have now come, you ready for this? 35,040 hours into his life. And he is 40 years old. And you know what he is? You're somewhere right now around 2 Samuel chapter 5, and he has just been anointed king over Israel. Oh, wait a minute. You know what he was an hour ago? He was a fugitive. 1 hour ago. You know where he would spend his nights? Every night. I'm talking about last night and the night before and the night before that and the night before that. Every night he slept, he had to worry if somebody was going to come and kill him, if Saul was going to find a way to get him and kill him. Saul had been chasing him all over the biblical territory, had he not? You know, they say that Saddam Hussein, boy, there's a name. Think about that. Anyway, Saddam Hussein, they said Saddam Hussein would never sleep the same place two nights in a row. And you're a hot shot. You're a king. I mean, you can't even sleep the same place two nights in a row. Boy, that's free. Well, that's worrisome or worry-free, isn't it? But David, man, David. I mean, he had to worry about this. He had to worry about Saul bringing an army. He'd even go deliver an entire city. You'd think a city would appreciate being delivered from the Philistines. But when word came that he was in that city of Keilah, word came that he was there. Saul said, man, I've got him in a city. He's got gates around him. All I got to do is surround that city and I got him. And David says, Lord, I heard Saul found out I'm here. Is he going to come down? God says, yeah, he sure is. Well, these men of Keilah, who I delivered. Not only did he deliver these men, did he not spare their wives some terrible things? Did he not keep their children from being sold into slavery? He said, are these guys going to turn me over to Saul? God says, sure is. Yeah, they are. He couldn't trust the people that he'd done something for. Guys, he was a fugitive. He had been a fugitive. And now, as of 1 hour ago, now you know what happens? He goes to walk through a door. And he goes to go to the door handle, and somewhere in the door goes, I'll get it for you, Your Highness. You will? Oh, yes. I mean, he wants to open a door. Every time he goes to get a door, somebody opens it up for him. He says, well, where can I get something? Oh, no, Your Highness, you just sit here, and we'll bring you something. What would you like, pork chop? Well, Your Highness, can't have everything. But anyway, I tell him, man, you ever grilled center cut pork chop? He'll thank God you weren't born Jewish. But, I mean, you know, he would just say, well, here's what I'd like. They say, we'll make that for you tomorrow. Well, I'd like to do this afternoon. You could do that. You imagine what it must be like for a fugitive to try to start thinking like a king? And it all happened in an hour's time. Let's go back to one more time, 1 hour in his life. You know what he is today? You know what he is right now? He's an adulterer. He's dirty. You know what he was 1 hour ago? 1 hour ago. He was standing on his rooftop looking at Jerusalem. Joab and the army were up there taking another country, another city for him. Soon there would be a report of another victory and Israel would have more territory and another city. And he's standing there saying, man, look at this. I don't think he was proud, but he's just saying, look at this. Look, I cannot believe this, man. I was a shepherd. I was a grocery delivery boy. I was a fugitive. Hey, can you look at this? Will you just look at that? And that's all it took. You know what he was 1 hour ago? He was clean. Boy, when that cleanliness is gone, it's hard to get that back. You know, you girls, you young girls get up here and you young men get up here and you sing, hey girls, don't you sacrifice your purity for anybody. You know, and I'm sure Brad, as you think about it, you know, I look at heathen. And you know what I notice one of the things about heathen? Girls lose their purity at a young age. And in our country, they used to maintain their purity, most of them, until they were married. And now you know what they do? They lose their purity at a young age. Because we have become a heathen nation. And you girls, you stay pure. And you young men, now look, I'm going to be honest. Guys don't care about purity. But you should care about honor. And when you steal purity, you've lost your honor. You guys keep your honor, all right? You know what he thought? He thought that would really be nice. I'll bet it was. I'll bet he thought, I will enjoy that. I'll bet he did. You know what everybody doesn't realize? Sin. There is pleasure in sin. The problem is that then it's over. And you have a lifetime of remorse. And this 1 hour of pleasure cost him 4 of his children. It cost him grief in his family. And it made him my sermon illustration. And the sermon illustration of many preachers on what can happen. Isn't that true? 1 hour. Do you know what it felt like for him 1 hour ago? What, the guy had 6 wives. And he's still not got enough? 1 hour ago, he was a happy man. 1 hour ago, he was a man of honor. 1 hour ago, everybody said, David, David. And now he has taken a path that is going to lead to him becoming a cold-blooded murderer. Cold-blooded. Kill a man that was as loyal as he could possibly be to him. Don't you wonder how people can change in just 1 hour? Let's go back to a time, and I told you you ought to do this. Let's go back to something that took place 1 hour ago. You know what took place? We're going to go back to Israel. We're not going to go to Jerusalem. We've been in Jerusalem. We're going to go about a mile away to a little village called Bethlehem. It's only about a mile away. And here is this young mother holding a crying baby who 1 hour ago was sitting on a throne in heaven. Guys, you ought to think about what that last hour in heaven must have been like. Do you understand? You're looking at a child who can't feed itself, can't clean itself. Is that not true? Who 1 hour ago was seated on a throne in heaven, hearing the cherubim and the seraphim yell, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come." 1 hour ago, this helpless child was seated on the throne where 24 elders on a regular basis, on about 2 times a minute, would cast their crowns at his feet and say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That was 60 minutes ago. I would say that is a change. From God, and he was God then. Don't worry, he was God then. But when I say God, I'm not just talking about his deity. I'm talking about his power. And from the omnipotent, powerful God to a helpless child who was already being hunted. What a change. I'm sorry, guys. That is beyond your imagination. You can imagine what took place, but you can't imagine having made that kind of a change in your life. Let's go back to another hour in the life of the Lord. And you know what he is right now? He is 30 years old. And he is just stepping up out of the Jordan River, having been baptized. You know what is about to happen? I'm telling you, with that baptism begins what we know as the public ministry of Jesus Christ. And the next 3.5 years of his life altered history. It changed the world. It changed the course of history. That man stepped out of that river and changed your life. Isn't that true? You know what he was an hour ago? An hour ago, he was just facing the crowd. I don't know if he did this. I don't know. What do you do? What would you do? He knew it was ahead. I can see him in the crowd. Nobody else knows who he is, correct? So, what is he? He's just another guy standing there watching John baptize people, right? And he's watching. And it's like, I know I got to go down there. I'm here, and there's not a soul here that would look at me and go, "You're him." Right? There's not one person who would look at Jesus Christ before that baptism. There is not one person that would look at him a second time and go, "I know who you are." And he knows that the moment he steps down in that river, everything is going to change. He no sooner could come out of that river and try to walk through the streets and somebody go, "You're the one. I saw you down in the river getting baptized, and it looked like there was a dove over your head. I watch John baptize people all the time, and that never happened. There's something about you." "Yeah, there sure was." That is one of the world's shortest careers. Boy, there have been some short things in history, guys. You know that in our country, cowboys lasted 10 years. That was it. You know that the Pony Express, the world famous Pony Express, lasted for 18 months. That's all it was. And one of the shortest and most successful ministries in history was a 6-month stint by a guy named John the Baptist. And that was it. And your pastor, how long have you been in this church? 19 years? And Jesus' ministry was only 3.5. But an hour ago, he was anonymous. An hour ago, nobody knew him. An hour ago, nobody, listen, you think anybody expected anything of him? But he came out of that river. He walked over to some blind man and said, you can have your sight back. Walked over to a deaf person, gave their ability to hear back. He walked over to the palsied and they picked up their bed and walked home. Listen, I told you, he ruined every funeral that he ever went to. Every time he'd go to a funeral, the corpse would go home with its mom. And boy, now what happens when he walks down a street in Jerusalem? Jesus, I got a problem. My brother won't share the inheritance with me. Right? I mean, there were good requests and lame requests. Isn't that true? But Bud, they were all coming to him. And I'll guarantee you, everybody, the sick kid was looking for him. You know, if that book, this book is right, you know it is. That book says that if everything he did had been written down, the world could not contain the books. Which means that all of the accounts that we have in the Gospels, come on guys, the accounts we have in the Gospels, that is not 3.5 years worth of ministry. It encompasses 3.5 years in time, but that ain't 3.5 years of ministry. And when you see him raising the dead, you know what I wonder? How many did he raise that we never heard about? How many did he feed that we were never told about? How many people could see that we never heard about? But an hour ago, he was nobody. And now he's gone down and it started. And he cannot turn it back. He's only going to ever have one option to get out of this. And he's going to try to take it. In the garden, he's going to ask his father, can we cancel this whole thing? Can I just come home? Could you just take this cup? And he's going to go through with it instead. But it all started with 1 hour, 1 hour ago. Let's go to 1 hour. And it's kind of in his, it's about the Lord, but let's go 1 hour after his death. Not the crucifixion. We all see pictures of the crucifixion. I'm not talking about Roman Catholic pictures, but even in our minds, we see a picture of Jesus Christ and we think of him shedding his blood for us and our salvation, correct? I'm not telling you to have a crucifix on your wall with Jesus hanging on it, because you know as well as I do, he's not on it. But here's what I want you to think. He's dead. You know what he was 1 hour ago? He was the hope of everybody in Israel. Of the people who were sick, he was their hope that they would walk or see or hear or talk. Of those who had loved ones who were dying, he was the hope that they would literally take their dead relative down there and he would touch them and they would come home with them. So for the, and I don't mean this wrong when I say selfish, but I'm talking about the people who had what we call personal problems. He was their hope. But was not he a grander hope than that? Was not he the one? Didn't they say we thought he was the one? Do you ever think what the conversations around Calvary must have been like about an hour after he was dead? Can you see some of the apostles? Can you imagine? Listen. Even Pilate couldn't believe he was dead. It said he marveled that he was so soon dead. Because Pilate believed he was the Son of God. I believe that. Look, you look there, and he comes before Pilate. Pilate quizzes him in John chapter 18. And then he goes there in chapter 19. Or he says, I'm going to turn him loose, you know, I see no fault in him. You know, if he says he's king of the Jews, what do I care? And they said, well, he said he's the Son of God. And Pilate goes over and he goes, whence art thou? He said, where are you from? How would you like to have just beat somebody and find out it was the Son of God? And you ordered the flogging. I think you'd want to square your accounts. And he went, where are you from? And he said, man, I'm turning this guy loose. And he couldn't turn him loose. Now, I'm sorry, guys, but there is such a truth as burying your mistakes. You know what that is? That's when you're pondering whether you should quit the job or not. You're pondering whether you should quit the job or not. Is it the thing to do? Then you quit. And then you think, well, it might be a mistake, but it's done now. And you know what I think Pilate thought? Okay, look, you know, he was an innocent kid. He's just a 30-year-old kid, 33-year-old kid, but at least I don't have the Jews mad at me anymore. And then they came. And he said, he's dead. And he go, man, I really thought he would not die. And they find out he's dead. And then they really came. And I'm sorry, I see humor. Because now at least it's over and he's done. And there's another knock. Pilate says, yeah, it's a high priest. Hey, he's dead, guys. He's dead. We took care of it. Well, sir, that's not all of the problem. Well, what do you mean, man? I mean, he's dead. Well, he said when he was around here that if he died, he's coming back in 3 days. Why did you tell me that? Could we have a guard? Oh, yeah, you make it as sure as you can. Right? And here they are. They're watching him. Can you imagine what it must be like to literally watch them wrapping the body of the one you thought that was the Messiah? You know what he was going to do? He's going to break the chains of Rome. He was going to feed all of the hungry. He was going to free Israel. Israel was once, listen, it was going to know the glory that it had known in the days of David and Solomon. Is that not true? And you know who's going to do it? That cold corpse. They watched him carried off into a borrowed tomb. And then they saw the stone roll away. And it wasn't long after that, all of a sudden, here come a squad of Roman soldiers, pushed everybody out of the way, and said, anybody come around here, we'll kill you. Come on, guys. What do you think the conversations were like that night? What do you think? You think they went out and just had a good time, cup of coffee, went down to Starbucks? Well, he'll be back. Mm-mm. 1 hour ago, he was the hope of Israel. And now he was dead. Let's check out one more. Nothing happened right now. But you know what happened an hour ago? He stepped out of that tomb. You know what he was an hour ago? Dead. He was dead. I don't know if that tomb they show over there is the one that he was in. I personally believe it probably was. I've heard it said that they checked the dust and can't find that there was ever the remnant of any human having ever decomposed in that tomb. But I don't care, guys, if that's not the tomb and the tomb he was really in. I don't care if they buried 14 camels in there. He came out. 1 hour ago, the disciples were still huddled together, being afraid. It's only been 3 days, guys. They're still afraid Rome's going to come and get them. 1 hour ago, he was dead. And you know what he just did? He just stepped out. Boy, you know why? Because you can't keep a good man down. I don't believe, I'm one of those, I don't believe they rolled the rock away so he could get out. I think they rolled the rock away so somebody could see. We know he could pass through it if he wanted. Maybe he did. Maybe they rolled the stone away, after he passed through it. I don't know. But he just stepped out. And again, guys, he has altered the world. There have been many famous men live and die. Yeah, they lived and died and... You know, John Lennon, boastful, prideful, mouthy, young kid, said he's more popular than Jesus Christ. And some years ago, some guy with a 38 put 5 shots into him and gave him 3 days and 3 nights to prove it. And he's still in a hole in the ground. And Elvis, I don't care who's seen him, he's dead. And we're hoping Michael Jackson stays down. And because he lives, you can live. I mean, what do, man? You've defeated death. There's nothing more. I really believe this, guys. I really believe that that the devil, he understood everything, but he didn't understand the resurrection. Would you have killed him if you thought he could come back to life? Isn't death the final answer? Isn't death, that's what they called it in Germany. They called it, what was it, the final solution or something like that? I mean, once they're dead, it's over. So you kill him. The Pharisees, they knew who he was. They knew he was the son of the husbandman. And you know what they said? If we kill the husbandman's son, we get the vineyard. If we kill God's son, we get the planet. But who could have ever thought, we'll just kill him. And somebody said, well, he'll just come back. Well, we didn't see that in the script. There he is. It was just 1 hour. Let me, if you will, I'm going to take you to a couple hours in the life of someone not real famous. Me. Let's take you to an hour. You know, this is really, it's 60 minutes. You know what happened 60 minutes ago? You know what I am right here? I am saved. It is June 14th, 1970, and I am walking out of the Canton Baptist Temple. I walked into that church that day on my way to hell, and I am walking out of that church that day on my way to heaven. 1 hour earlier, I was a drunk. 1 hour earlier, I was a thief. 1 hour earlier, I was planning a robbery in which I was going to kill a man. And I walked out of there with everything I'd ever done in 20 years washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you remember the hour after you got saved? Man, I mean, can you remember? You remember what it felt like? I know we say there's no feeling in salvation, but guys, anybody that's ever carried anything heavy, you feel it when it's lifted, don't you? And brother, I felt it go. I got down on my knees, and when I got saved, I felt the load of 20 years of sin come off of my back. I have never forgotten it. I have never gotten over it. I'm one of those guys, I don't need a second blessing. I have really, truly never gotten over the first. But an hour ago, you know what I was doing an hour ago? Let me tell you about the night before I got saved. I know what I did the night before I got saved in bed. You know what I did? I went through my four Catholic prayers. I went through the Lord's Prayer and a Hail Mary and an act of contrition and an angel of God. And then I prayed the big one. And it wasn't a Catholic prayer. I said I went through four Catholic prayers. I did. Didn't mean a thing. But then I went through one that I had started some years earlier. And you know what I'd say? I'd say, God, if I could get rid of all my sins, I'd start fresh. And that prayer was never punctuated with an amen. It was punctuated with my tears because I knew I could never get rid of all my sins. And 1 hour ago, I got that prayer answered. 1 hour ago, man, I got them all gone and I've never prayed that prayer since. I haven't had to. Oh, I still confess my sins. But guys, you know what I did? I got rid of my sins and I kept my word to God, man. I started all over again. Only went back to the bar to tell him I got saved and tell him I got called to preach, and that was it. I was preaching. I was in Bible college 10 weeks after I got saved. But in that 10 weeks, I was preaching. Man, I was preaching in the Sunday school classes. They just turned me loose. I was a wild man. Still had long hair. I mean, I was scary looking. When I went to Bible college, I showed you that red, white, blue Volkswagen. I still had long hair, see-through body shirts, bell-bottoms, open-toed sandals, man. And that red, white, and blue Volkswagen, that's how I showed up. But don't worry, the inside was different. All happened about an hour ago. If you will, go back to 1973 with me. And 1 hour ago, you know what happened? It's May of 1973. 1 hour ago, I graduated from Bible college. Now, who'd have believed that? I'd actually graduated from college before to be a computer programmer, and I've graduated twice since. But I graduated, and I'm a minister. And that is not a bad word. That's a Bible word. I like that description. You know why? Because we minister. We minister to you. That's a good word. I am a preacher, but that's part of what I do as a minister. Do you understand? And so the overall term is that I am a minister. And there I was 23 years old. And I was headed into evangelism. And Kathy and I loaded up our 67 Dodge Dart. And if you ever saw the opening clip of the old Beverly Hillbillies television program, that was us. We had so much stuff in the trunk that I had to get up on the trunk lid and jump up and down for it to latch. And when we opened in Ohio, I went, and it went, poof, you know. If I had a tendon there, when it came out, it was set up. We had the entire back seat filled level with the seat, and the right side, my wife sat next to me because she had to. There was no, she couldn't move over. She sat next to me, which was fine. On top, we had a car top carrier. On top of that, we had an ironing board. I mean, we looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. Just Granny fell off somewhere in Kentucky. In fact, I'll never forget it. We had heard that tornadoes, we're coming, now you got to understand, we're going north, and we'd heard tornadoes had crossed ahead of us. So every time I'd stop and get gas, I'd ask how things were ahead. And I made the mistake of asking a guy in Kentucky. Now, you speak English, and we speak English. They speak Kentuckian. And that is very similar to English, never to be confused for English. And I just filled up with gas, and I told this guy, I said, how's the weather up ahead? We have to go up through Louisville, who'd know, you know, years later I'd be getting my surgery, and then on up Louisville, and then up through Cincinnati, and then on up into Ohio, into Canton, Massillon. And so I asked this guy, how's the weather? He said, well, some tornadoes in Lowell. And I went, in Lowell. He said, Lowell. Because I got to find this on a map, you know. So when he's telling me this town, I want to find a map so that I know where if we're going to be driving or near that. Because I knew I wasn't driving anything near anything like that. And I said, in Lowell. He said, Lowell. You know, Southerners are the only people that can talk and blow their nose at the same time. I'm looking him right in the eye. And I went, in Lowell. And after about 5 tries, I can see he gets mad, and he goes, well, you would say Louisville. This is exactly what I did. I went, Kathy saw me coming. I got in a car. She said, Kathy, watch it. And I wasn't until I got out of the driveway of that gas station, I exploded. I said, Gipper, you have no idea. I need 2 weeks of language school just to pass through this stupid state. And in a matter of weeks, we was in evangelism, preaching. That was May. I was preaching in June, 1973. About an hour ago. Man, an hour ago, I was waiting to walk up there and grab that piece of paper. And man, when I got my piece of paper down in Florida, my car was running and it was pointed toward the north. It was ready to go. Let me go back, if you don't mind, to another hour. You know what I am right now? I am married. But an hour ago, I was single. Near as we can tell, my wife and I, we had a bunch of stuff in storage tonight. We think possibly our wedding pictures are gone. And they're not so bad for me because Kathy doesn't look any different. But if you saw our wedding pictures, you see this beautiful woman next to this boy. Skinny, hair. I look at those pictures and say, I thought I married you. Anyway, and in our wedding pictures, we had these two classic pictures. They were just tremendous. There's the picture of my father-in-law walking down the aisle with his daughter, Kathy, as they're coming in the church. And their two expressions are just tremendous. Her expression is, you know, like that anticipation, excitement, because she knew this wonderful, handsome, kind, intelligent person she's going to make. And I also told her I was rich. But her father looked like the next step was into an abyss. He apparently knew me too. She's on his arm, and he's like this. He does. If you could see this picture, it looks like all hope is gone. And she's... The second picture of our wedding pictures was the same aisle going the other direction, and this time Kathy's on my arm. And she just... And I am like, I got him. My father-in-law, you see him, he's unconscious, laying behind us. And I mean, I mean, I am coming down that aisle like, man, I won. I won. Can I tell you something? I won. Next month will be 37 years. And I, you know, the only thing I don't understand is I can distinctly remember my parents' 25th anniversary, but they were old. I don't know how we did it without getting old. You're looking a little skeptical there, buddy. I think he said something, but I couldn't hear it. Anyway, oh, that's an hour. That was an hour. Let me tell you about an hour. Ah, ugly hour. I am in a, well, I'm unconscious most of the time. But they wheel me out of an ambulance and carry me, push me into a emergency room. And I guess they took x-rays of my neck. But 1 hour ago, I was just fine. But now I got a broken neck. And I'm telling you, you talk about life-changing hours. Hour ago, I was working construction. You build a wall laying down. I'm on a 4x8 sheet of plywood, just 4 inches off the floor. I'm on my hands and knees, backing this way. And as my feet came over the top of the wall, I knew I'm only 4 inches off. I went to stand up. But behind me was a stairwell. Threw myself 2 stories right down through there. Caught the first floor right there. Split my skull. That's probably when I broke my neck. Slammed into a pile of rubble. And I'm always one of those guys, I want you to know I'm okay. I stood right up. I mean, I stood right up. I remember looking up, 2 stories up, looking, having one of the guys look over and go. And then it was over. That's the last thing I remember. I mean, I think I briefly can remember him carrying me to the ambulance, but I was gone. And guys, that started a trek that went 35 years and ended just a year ago with that surgery. Oh man, listen, I can't tell you. I won't. But that was a life changer. Now, guys, let's go if we can into the future. Let's go into the future about 1 hour after the rapture. You know what I think? I think I'm talking to a group of people. I think you're pretty good folks. But I think I'm talking to a group of people that it would be different in each case, but I'm talking to people who are worried about something. Some of you are worried about your country. Some of you men are probably worried about your jobs. You parents are worried about your children. You children, just worry. Just worry. But really, you know, I'm talking to people that are a little bit fretting. I think, guys, I'm sorry, but you know, you remember what happened when the two towers were hit? You remember that those two towers were, they took direct hits by airplanes, correct? And 2 days later, a building that was in close proximity went down also. And I think America's taken a hit. And I think she's gone down. But guys, you're in close proximity. And I really do. I won't go into it now, but I think we stand to lose, like I said, about a fourth of our population. If this thing really, the wheels really come off of it and it turns into anarchy. And I don't like to see it coming, but can you imagine? Could you imagine? That's what we were worried about 60 minutes ago. 60 minutes ago, we were concerned. 60 minutes ago, we tuned in CNN and heard they're going to start arresting Christians. 60 minutes ago, we heard our economies had absolutely collapsed. 60 minutes ago, we heard that there was rioting and people getting shot in the streets and the grocery stores were empty. And for the last 59 minutes, we have been on our face before the throne. We have been hearing that, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We have been hearing it for the last 59 minutes, and guess what, pal? You're going to hear it for all of eternity. We just got into the competition of who can hit your nose fastest when those 420 elders cast their crowns at his feet and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And guys, I don't expect to be one of those 420 elders. They're already up there. I don't expect to be one of those guys, but if I got a crown, I'm jumping in. I am jumping in. And I'm not jumping in to be part of the production. I'm jumping in. because for the first time, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see this person that I have loved without ever talking to, without ever meeting, without shaking a hand, without a hug. I am going to meet this person who has been so good to me. I mean, pulled me out of hell itself, saved me, gave me a wife, and gave me a ministry and a life that I can pillow my head. Don't have to worry about the phone ringing. Don't have to worry about the things I worried about before I got saved. And I'm going to get to see him. And I'm telling you, I fully intend when I get to heaven for about the first 1,000 years of just being a holy roller. I am going to hit about 1,000 miles out. I am just going to hit and roll. And I want it to stop right at the throne with me like this. Whack. And I'll say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And I just came to do my part of that. Now we're going to go, and I'm done. This is the last one. We're going to go one more time into the future. And we're not going to go an hour into the future. You know what we're going to do? We're going to cut it back 30 minutes. We'll go back. We're just going to go 30 minutes from the end of this service. And you know who we're going to visit? Somebody in here. Somebody in here 30 minutes after the service is over. But 30 minutes ago, you got rid of your secrets. And you got rid of your problems. And you bailed your sin. Some of you have been carrying a secret burden for so long that your knees are about to buckle. Some of you have been hiding something for so long and you have had that weight and that conviction on you for so long that 30 minutes from now you are just going to, it is going to be unbelievable the weightlessness that you feel. Do you understand? You know what I'm asking you? Is this hour your hour? Is this the hour that someday you will look back 1 hour after it and say, that's the one that changed my life? That's the one where I finally just gave in and gave up and gave it to God. Man, it's been cotton candy ever since. It's been chocolate pudding ever since. I mean, it has just been good. Why did I hold out for so long? Why did I embrace the pain when I could have just given it up? I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. How badly do you want to feel that relief? Some of you have been struggling against God. Some of you have been fighting against God. Some of you, it may be secret sin. It just may be you just disagreeing with God's path that He put you on. Wouldn't it be nice if an hour from now you look at your watch and go, man, what a difference this is. What a difference it has been for the last 60 minutes since I went down to that altar and I finally took care of business with God. Will you let this be your hour? Will you let your life be different? Some of you don't even know. Some of you have no idea how different your life will be after this hour. If you'll just do what you know you should. But I'm telling you, it will change radically. Why don't you give up and give in? Lord God, and You are the Lord God, and we are the dirt. And how many times we got over 8,000, over 613,000 hours in our lives, God, and how many times have You visited with us to get us to make a decision that could change our lives? God, we have seen through history where 1 hour could make a life change radically for the bad or radically for the good. God, this hour is in the hands of somebody right now. This hour could be the hour that their life changes forever. I hope it does. God, I hope it does. I hope somebody runs up a white flag. I hope they put it, the white flag, in their back pocket, climb the flagpole, God, and hang on to the top and wave it at You personally. And they will look back 60 minutes from now and never regret that. 1 hour from now, they will look back and go, I am glad for what took place 1 hour ago. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your heads bowed and